Hey, hey, welcome to the Adulthood, a podcast for geriatrics. This is Alex all day.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, now you're Fat Albert. Okay.
Is there a heart in the house tonight? Stand up.
So this is the Adulthood. This is a podcast for geriatric millennials. I am Lexi, also known as Lexi with the curls.
And I am Alejandro.
And this is our first episode. So if you know the two of us, or if you don't, if you're just meeting us for the first time, we are two coworkers / BFFs who I got him this amazing job. And now he's able to live on his own. And I pulled him away. He used to work at City Trends and he was dressing mannequins. And I was like, Alex, you're really talented. Like, he went to school for journalism. He's really talented. And I was like, Alex, you need another job. Like, I want to pull you away from City Trends. And then I got him this job. But we can get more into it because I didn't want to like make it seem that fast. But Alex, what's up?
I'm going to let you tell that story. I'm not even going to correct it. I don't even know what to say. City Trends and dress mannequins.
Yes. And he's so talented. And I was like, you know what? You don't need to be dressing mannequins at City Trends. Like, I feel like you should work at Bossup and be a writer full time because this is what you're great at. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Alex is the king of headlines for Bossup. Tell us about, you know, king of headlines.
Well, I don't have much to say about that. I just have a vivid imagination. Mm-hmm. And I started writing early. You know, my love letters used to be very well-written and funny. And, you know, I just love writing.
You used to write letters to women?
Yeah.
What? Like on a piece of paper or a typewriter? Typewriter back in the day?
I saw you walking to the cafeteria.
Oh, my gosh.
In those pedal pushers.
Your stirrups on.
You look so good. And your Von Dutch hat.
Yeah. Bondo's trucker hat.
You wear your Parasuco jeans.
Ooh.
Rest your curve.
Is that what you were doing? So here's the funny thing. So everything that you're talking about, Alex, like Von Dutch and everything, that is when we first met. That's what we were wearing. We were wearing stuff like that. We actually have a picture where I have a Von Dutch hat on and you're in the picture with me.
Yes.
With a Von Dutch hat on. So let me tell this story. So Alex and I met. We are both, well, I am from Hampton, Virginia, the 757, home of the greatest athletes, artists, you know, producers, whatever you want, everything. Wow. I don't know what this laugh is for. I mean, Missy Timberland, you know, Pharrell, Michael Vick, Allen Iverson, you know, all of those good things.
Shout out to Ronald Curry. Yes.
Shout out to Ronald Curry. Mm-hmm. So I'm from the 757. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alex moved in, you know, high school, I think his junior year. Mm-hmm. And I got this random message on AIM. So if you don't know what AIM is, it is pretty much every geriatric millennial. Every geriatric millennial has been on AIM, like at some point. You have met somebody on AIM. You talk to your classmates on AIM. So this guy starts sending me messages. And his name was Black Jesus 3. Oh. Black with a Q. With a Q. And I was like, who is Black Jesus 3? She's like, oh, my mother works with your friend's mom. And next thing you know, we start talking on AIM. And then we end up being at Hampton University every summer for summer camps. And he's always he was the guy that would just like look at girls' feet and make comments about them.
I don't know.
Yes, I remember this. You used to make fun of women's feet. You used to always look at girls' feet. We would be at Hampton University in the summer because we were gifted. We were the gifted children who used to take advantage of, he can tell that part of the story. But we used to go to summer camps every summer and stay in the dorms. And we were always, well, a couple of times we were in the same programs. We were going college tours together with Hampton University. So it was like, we would do educational events. And then we ended up getting really cool through that. He went to, not my rival high school. He went to like the irrelevant high school in the city. And I went to the cool high school. So, yeah. So, what else happened when we met?
You, this is so funny because the way that you tell a story is different from how I remember.
It's always okay. Well, what's your side of the story?
I remember we had a mutual friend that went to the school that you went to for, I don't want to say delinquent youth, but your school was for, it was like,
it was hood.
Almost like the East Side. Hell, East Side.
Yeah,
it was like the East Side of Hampton. So you had mutual friends that knew me.
Yes.
And then y'all used to get together on AOL.
Uh-huh.
I would say their names, but you know, I don't even know where they are in life right now. But I feel like they went to school with me at Hampton.
Okay.
So y'all had y'all's chat, and then your mutual friend invited me and said, hey, this is like the new lavender t-shirt wearing polo enthusiast who's new to Hampton, who's new to Virginia, who has no idea what y'all got going on. The only thing I knew at the time was Allen Iverson.
Right. Yeah.
I knew Allen Iverson. I knew Missy, Timberland, Pharrell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know nobody, and everybody treated me like, "Oh, you different."
Because you're from
because you from Miami, and we don't know nothing about real life people from Miami. So
no, we knew Trick Daddy,
yeah,
Trick Daddy and Trina. That's it. See,
that's how I started to meet people and make friends. Because I was just bright and loud and just entertaining. I connected with your girl, and then your girl, y'all had this chat, and then your girl, you had another girl, and then it was a whole bunch of people, and then I came into the room with y'all. It wasn't like a hello. It wasn't like Jesus G. Like your girl was like, hey, this is the lavender shirt wearing brother man from whatever. This is Lexi. And then that's when it was like, oh, you Lexi.
That was back when I was Alexis.
I know your mama or whatever. That is what happened.
I don't recall that. I recall you sliding in. You know, like sliding in the DMs. You slid in my AIM. It was like, hi, my name is Alex. And I joined the chat.
And then we were talking about, I don't know what we were talking about. It was just something crazy.
Yes. I always remember you being crazy, Alex. I always remember you being the funny guy who used to like talk about women's feet, and you were always the one that like kept everybody laughing and always made jokes. I remember that.
I didn't really, but see, that is the way that I am. And you know, like you said, we were in those programs for Hampton University, but we were in programs that were for like at-risk youth.
Right? We were.
No one believes these stories that I tell, but we'll talk about this later in the podcast, but there's a lot of things that people never sign up for because they feel like everyone else is going to sign up for.
But
no one ever signs up for this. So the program was supposed to be for at-risk youth. No one signed up for it.
So Alejandro and I took advantage.
The government said, here's all this money to take care of these at-risk youth. You could take them to colleges. You could take them to see the president. You could take them to all the HBCUs in the country. And the Hampton youth was like, nah.
Yeah, they didn't want to go. So we took advantage of it. And that, like, our moms didn't have to take us on college tours because Hampton University did.
Yeah.
You went on the Ivy League tour with us, right?
Yes.
So we went to Harvard and Yale.
Also, a whole bunch of fancy, extraordinary, well-moisturized blacks. We went to all of HBCUs on the East Coast because of this program that was supposed to be for at-risk youth.
Yeah, we were exposed to schools. Like, okay, well, one, let's get it out there. We are both HBCU grads. We are like super pro HBCU. So I went to Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia.
And I went to the standard of excellence. Hampton University, Black Harvard.
It is. And so because of that, like, we were just super, like, HBCU. Well, first of all, we're HBCU out. Like, we're probably both going to marry HBCU grads. Like, I would hope so, too. I know, right? So we're just very pro-HBCU grads, like, very pro-HBCUs. And we went on these tours, went to Tuskegee, went to A&T, went to NCCU, went all over, and that's what, like, developed our love for HBCU. So he stayed at home, went to Hampton. I was like, you know what? I need to get to Atlanta because I need to grow up. And I can't grow up in the house with my mama. and my parents. And I just wanted to come to Atlanta to work in the music industry. That was my initial goal, was to work in the music industry. Didn't work out, but I kind of did, you know, kind of adjacent or whatever. But my goal was to work. Actually, you know what's so crazy? So at the time when we were in high school, Ludacris had just come out. He was really big. Oh, yeah. All I knew was I want to come to Atlanta and work for DTP. That's what I knew. I want to work for DTP. And yeah, that was my goal. Like, I wanted to work in the music industry. And to me, Atlanta was the place to be, because at that time it was like Babyface, LA Reid. Everybody was talking about Atlanta. And I was like, yo, I have to go down there. And that's honestly, I need to thank Ludacris next time I see him. He doesn't know who I am. Sometimes he knows who I am. Sometimes he's like, oh yeah, I know you. Oh, yeah, and then most of the time he doesn't. Yeah. And he does not know me. But he's seen me, you know, like we've worked in certain circumstances together. So I didn't tell him, like, you're the reason why I came to Atlanta. He's going to be like, okay, girl. But literally, that is the reason why I wanted to work in the music industry, and Atlanta was the place to be. So it's so crazy, because me and Alex lost touch for years because we didn't have all the Facebook and Instagram at this time. Like, we did get it my sophomore year, so your junior year, that's when Facebook came. Mm-hmm. I remember when it started, went from Morehouse. I remember when Morehouse got it. I remember as soon as Clark got it. So, but still, I don't think we connected on Facebook. Like, how do we reconnect, Alex?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked.
You're about to make up a story.
No.
You're not going to make up a story. You're not going to get it right.
Well, first of all, I remember when you looked at all of us and you were like, I am going to Atlanta.
I sure did.
Bye, y'all. I'm going to Atlanta.
Bye.
To chase my dreams.
Yes.
Because see, at this point in time, I was like torn between going to Hampton because they had something. My intuition just said, you should go to Hampton. They got a new school of journalism. They got a new program. And then they got the radio station. It'll be all you. But actually, in my graduation party, I had FAMU and A&T.
Oh.
As my A&T? Two final school. Yeah.
I didn't know.
And play baseball.
I did not know that you were going to be an Aggie.
It was both. It was wow. I was about to choose my college. Like, wow. Go to this school over this school. I see I didn't have two hats to make that announcement in front of the family.
Uh-huh.
This is when, and we'll talk about this too, you know, our parents are boomers.
Yes.
Our parents are like the ultimate traditional black boomers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about entertainment, when you talk about, I'm going to do this and make money from it, they're like, no, you, Hampton, for journalism, you need to go to FAM. You need to go to their engineering program.
You had to get a real job.
Yeah, cause... you need to go to A&T. You need to do this. So, see, that's the thing about us geriatric millennials. A lot of us have boomer parents who are stuck in the 90s, the 80s, the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way we did it. And this is the way that it has to be done.
Absolutely.
There is no such thing as evolution.
No.
It's like, I use MapQuest directions.
Still.
The address, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I use the phone? Why would I use the navigation on my new car?
They took forever to adjust. They still are adjusting.
Last time I saw my mama, she had the navigation console. She had a phone in her hand. And she said, pull up the address and tell me where to go.
Like, she had a separate GPS? Like a separate one?
Yeah, two GPSs.
Wow.
And then I had it on my phone. So it's just like, why do y'all refuse the basics?
Right.
The basics.
They do. They refuse the basics. And I think I'm sure that helped. I don't know. I guess we disobeyed our parents, because not like they told us we have to be engineers or doctors, but we definitely didn't do what they wanted us to do. Like, we didn't, because I wanted to work in entertainment, you wanted to work in entertainment, and for our parents it's like, no, like, what, like, that doesn't make you any real money. Like, there's no job security there. My parents still are like, I literally, up until like 3 years ago, my dad's like, when are you going to get a real job? And I'm like, hello, I have not had to ask you guys for mortgage money. I haven't had to ask you guys for pay my electricity money. And y'all, and my dad's still like, he thinks that like when you work in entertainment, it's not a real job and that you're not actually getting a paycheck. And I'm like, dude, clearly have job security because I've been in my job for a very long time.
Like 13 years.
They don't get it though. And I'm like, this is so funny. So we, so here's the thing. Like we actually, from our reconnection, so this is what Alex used to do. Alex used to do these recaps for BET Awards every year and they were hilarious. So this was back in the day on Facebook when you could do like notes.
Yeah.
So he used to do like this recap every year and it was so funny. It was so funny. He would have so many comments and I'm like, Alex, you really need to like write full time. And I'm like, I work for this company. I work for Bossip. And I was like, I think you'd be really great.
I was like, Bossip? Yeah.
I kept telling my boss and my coworkers about him. I'm like, yo, this guy is really, really funny. So finally one day they're like, let us send him a Bossip writing test. Send him a test. How did the test go, Alex?
The test went amazing, and you know it's crazy because people ask me about the test all the time. It is the same test that I took
since 1945. The Bossa writing test. The Bossa writing test.
But for some reason, people cannot. They cannot do it. I don't know what it is.
Because y'all are so different to be like. There's one thing to be a journalist, but to be able to be a journalist and be like, I call it sassy. I don't know what y'all call it, but the way that y'all write is very sassy. What do you call it? Sassy is the wrong word.
I mean, I think it's just, I don't know. I think it's also, you know, the difference between our generation and every other generation. Like we just grew up, our imaginations are a little bit different, plus sprinkled with some soul.
So can I say witty? Does that sound better than sassy? Witty?
I think witty, but you know, growing up, we read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying that, you know, Gen Zs don't read books, but we just were more into writing. You know, mm-hmm. I asked the Gen Zers, because, you know, I was in gifted programs.
Oh, fancy.
You know, they would bust me from the black school mm-hmm. to a diverse school, and we would do like mind games and logic and all of those things.
I mean, so did the other generation.
No, because I asked them, did y'all have gifted? And they're like, no.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess the people.
Like, we wouldn't do the regular thing. We would do, like, something above and beyond. Like, for instance, in the second grade, we read Green Eggs and Ham. Rest in peace, Dr. Seuss.
Uh-huh.
But when we read it, the assignment was not to just read it, but we had to go home and make green eggs and ham. Now, I'm in the second grade. I don't know how to cook. So we are in a grocery store, and like my mama's like, where is the green coloring? We're looking for the green coloring. See, this is when I learned how to scramble eggs in the second grade, because it was just like, oh, my God. So I think that's the difference. We were just more... I think we just did more. I think school was more about just people just like school. I don't know. I just think when we were growing up, everyone was like, I want to go to school. We got projects and we get
everything.
I haven't seen that enthusiasm about school since I was in school.
That's true. I never really thought about it. Like, at being a millennial.
Party if we all get A's. And then we would have like a little party.
They don't do that anymore. And they didn't do that before us. You're right.
Because I subbed in schools. Remember, we both subbed in schools.
Yeah.
They would just be like, oh, I'm in jail. I'm in hell. Ah.
Literally. I will say that you are correct. And like, so millennials, like, this is the thing with millennials. So millennials in general, so it starts from 1981 to 1996. If you were born in those years, you are a millennial. Now, to me, a geriatric millennial, so one, the oldest age right now would be 41. I am going to say that a geriatric millennial starts at like 34. Mm-hmm. And to me, a geriatric millennial, I do feel like there has to be a divide between the younger millennials and older millennials, because the two are not the same. They are not the same. Like, all of the stereotypes that they have about millennials I don't think that you and I, for example, and other Gen X millennials that we know, I don't think that we fit into those stereotypes. Like, we're not lazy. We don't want to live in our parents' basement forever. We're not delusional. We have real jobs. We have careers. We want to pay our bills. We don't live off of passion. Like, oh my gosh, I'm not passionate about it, so I'm just going to like live in the streets. We're not like that. Like,
we know.
There's a couple people that we know like that, like that are just like still living off their parents or like it. But I do think that there is a difference between like the generation millennial and the younger millennial. And just for reference, like the Gen Zers are like the 1997 to 2012. And then the Gen Xers are, I guess that's how you say, Gen X, 1965 to 1980. So, you know, we're not far from Gen X, you and I. We're not far from Gen X age. But so there's a little similarities in those, like the younger Gen Xs. But I think that we're in a whole lane of our own, honestly.
Yes. I mean, we could talk about geriatric millennials all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a very specific lifestyle.
Yeah.
Your parents are boomers. Your grandparents, you probably learned a lot from your grandparents. You probably talked to your grandparents a lot. You grew up mostly without all of these things that the kids have now. You grew up without cell phones.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You grew up without the internet, as yep. it is now. So uh-huh. you had to figure out ways, and that was the other thing about creativity. We had to figure out ways to entertain ourselves without constant TikTok dances, without constant internet. So we were like outside playing red light, green light.
But you remember like the generation before us, they could go outside and play and do everything. We're the generation where people started getting kidnapped. So then our parents are like, nah. You can't ride your bike that far. They used to be, my mom tells me, like, we used to ride our bike to Rock Creek Park. We used to ride like 10 miles with no adult or anything. We were the generation that we were playing outside, but like to a certain extent, because that's when kids were getting kidnapped. And then the generation after us, they're not going outside at all because they're playing their video games.
Yeah, we had to be inside by the time the street light came on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And plus, you know, I always talk about nostalgia. I always talk about the fact that movies were very connected to what we did outside. Like when Mighty Ducks came out, oh my God.
In the streets, playing street hockey.
Everybody thought they could play hockey.
Uh-huh. In the streets, playing street hockey.
Everybody, I mean, it was the hoodest dudes on the block. Everybody, shout out to Kenan Thompson.
Yep.
Shout out to The Mighty Ducks. I don't think they need to be a documentary on this.
I really love those movies. I love the Mighty Ducks.
Everybody was trying to play hockey.
On rollerblades. Yeah. We used to all of that. Oh, and then karate was big, like Three Ninjas. Yeah. So we started doing karate because of Three Ninjas. Like
And then pizza. Like we were saying earlier, like people were acting like school is so bad now. But you know, when we were in school, we had Book It. So every time you read a book, you got a free personal pan pizza.
I don't know anything about that. Oh, we didn't do that at my school. What? That must have been some Miami thing.
No. This was everywhere. Everybody knows Book It.
I've never heard of it.
Look, it was a program where you read a book in elementary school, you get a free personal pan pizza. Now, the personal pan pizza is not like what they used to be. See? Everyone knows Book It. I don't know.
Never heard of it.
Like I said, Lexi went to an institutional. I went to a decent
elementary school.
Yes, Book It. You read the book, and then your teacher will keep track of all the books. So I was balling.
Okay.
You know, I love to eat, so I was reading Hardy Boys, Beverly Cleary, Goosebumps.
Nancy Drew.
I was reading Sounder.
I know Babysitter's Club and
Fear. You ever read Sounder?
No.
About the dog?
No.
Okay, I know you read Old Yeller.
Yes, Old Yeller. I read, you know, what's the Dear Margaret, It's Me. No, Dear God, It's Me, Margaret.
Yes.
Those ones,
your teacher would be like, Lexi, okay, you read five books. Here's five personal pan pizzas or you didn't get go. Them. Same thing with McDonald's.
I didn't get no McDonald's or pizza.
Listen.
Must be nice.
No, I'm just saying school used to be like incentives. That's what we need. Yeah. Now it's like just read the book.
Just pass the course. Yeah.
I don't know if the kids get any incentives like we got, like, you know, like gold stars.
Yeah.
To book it, like free books from Scholastic, because, you know, I was not rich. We grew up very middle class, so every time a Scholastic book fair would come up, I'd be like,
yeah,
I'm not filling out this sheet.
What? Your mama didn't buy you any books?
Because I used to live at the library.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, you still go to the library. So weird.
That's where I got from Generation X and the boomers.
Okay.
They passed that down to me. Now, you not into the library like that. I used to stay at the library. They had
That's because it's 2022. I have not been to
lunch. They had programs there, Lexi. You missed out.
Yeah, I guess. They had
freeze pops, freeze cups, cookies.
Sir, I was not hanging out at the library. I was hanging out at the mall. Like, that was a thing as just a millennial in general. We used to hang out at the mall. We used to get with our friends. And I was not hanging out at the library. I was hanging out at the mall with my friends and going to the movies and, like, begging my mom and begging, you know, like, oh, can so-and-so's big brother take us to the movies? Can we do this? That was the thing. Like, it was meeting at the movies and meeting at the mall. While you were at the library, I was at the mall trying to meet guys from other schools.
First of all, I used to be at the mall with you, or I used to be at the mall while you were there in my platinum FUBU jersey.
So, is that what you were doing?
Yeah, you know, now I go to the mall dressed like anything. See, the Gen Z, they don't play about their outfits in the mall. But when we were in high school, I used to wear my best outfit to the mall.
That's where you used to go to get all the new dudes. Like, that's where you go to meet all of the guys. Well, for me, all of the guys at the other schools. Like, that's where you would go. Like, you have to, like, that's where you met guys. Like, especially before high school, before you go into, like, the football games and the basketball games. Middle school, that's where you meet guys. And I don't even know why we were trying to meet guys. Like, we were about to go out with them and stuff. Ooh, not like our parents.
People saying, like, what's up? Hey, what were they saying to y'all?
I don't even remember. I don't even know how it would start, but I remember back then they used to ask for your number and put it on a piece of paper and you have to wait for them to call you. Like, I remember those days of, like, going to the mall, trying to meet some guys. I don't recall why, because it's not like in middle school my mother was going to let me go on a date with anybody. But yeah, I used to go and just talk to guys, give your number out. Did you have your own phone in middle school?
I didn't have a phone until high school.
What?
It was a flip phone. It was like...
No, I'm talking about a house phone. Did you have your own house phone?
Oh, yeah. They would call, hello, may I speak to Alex?
So you didn't have your own phone?
No. You had your own phone?
I had my own line. Yes, I had my own line. So, yeah, no, I had my own line. That's why I was like, wait. Like, I have my own line.
Oh, no. Over here? Can I speak to Alex? And then my mom be like, Alex, telephone. And then you hear whatever she's watching in the background. And I pick it up, hello. And then, you know, your mama just, she knows it. She stay on the phone for like 5 seconds.
Look,
okay, I let y'all, okay, bye. It was like, ma'am, what is you doing?
Well, that is like, so that is one of my things as far as like that make a geriatric millennial. It's like, we just know, just knowing how to communicate. Like, we have been there when you used to have to, like, wait for somebody to call you. We know how to communicate, I think, really well, because we were the ones that actually did have to talk on the phone. It wasn't like any text messaging. So that is definitely like one of my things that I feel like makes a geriatric millennial. We know how to communicate, or we at least should, because we did that. We did the, like, writing down numbers. We did the phone calls. We talked on, remember you used to, like, talk on the phone until you fall asleep with your friends.
Yeah.
Like,
nah.
Exactly. Nobody wanted to hang up. You hang up first. No, and these are with friends. Like, I'm not talking like a romantic a person that you're trying to date. I'm talking like with your homies. You used to be on three-way. So I definitely think that that's one of the things that, like, really, you know, makes a geriatric millennial. I also feel like a geriatric millennial, we are still in that generation where we're not super all about passion. Like, we'll have a job that we don't love 100%, but because it pays the bills, we're going to do it. So to me, that's the difference between like the younger millennials. The younger millennials are like, I'm not passionate about it. Oh my gosh, this person made me sad today. I'm just gonna quit. I don't have any backup. I don't have any savings. I'm just gonna quit. I feel like we are the generation that we are gonna keep that job. We don't have to be 100% passionate about it. But at the same time, we're not like crazy. We're not gonna like stay in a job that makes us feel horrible or it's a toxic environment, but we're all about getting that coin and paying these bills. I feel like we're not lazy. I feel like we're just like the generation of, well, when I say generation, we're the older millennials, the judging millennials. We're just like, we're just more organized and we're going to get our stuff together. We're not waiting around for it to happen. I feel like that's another difference between the younger ones. The younger ones are like, let me wait for this person to reach out to me. Let me wait for this company to reach out to me. Meanwhile, us, we're like, no, we're going to go after it and get it still. Like, we're just more proactive. So all of this, like, millennials are lazy. Nah, not geriatric millennials. Geriatric millennials, we are not lazy. We are the go-getters. We're probably the last of the go-getters, honestly. Like, we're the last of, you know, the younger kids are like, why should we have to go through this, what the older people did to be in the industry? Like, it's just something that happens. I'm not saying that it's right because, yes, especially, like, in the entertainment industry, you have to do a lot. You have to work for free. Those days of working for free and interning are over, but we did that. We did that. And we like went through the ranks and did what the people before us did, even though nowadays they're like, no, we're not doing that. And now they done changed the whole rules because the younger millennials were like, no, we're not doing free labor, which I do understand. I get it. But it's like, you know, we didn't complain. We just did it. Like, we are just go-getters. Like, what are some of your, like, you, the sign of like, okay, this is definitely a geriatric millennial. Like, what are some of those things that make a geriatric millennial?
Well, you know, I thought about what you were just saying, and it's similar to what you were saying, is that we just have a greater appreciation for relationships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know the Gen Zers, I cut you off. It's like, yeah, we're in the cutoff culture. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, when we were growing up, we just had a greater appreciation for relationships. We had a greater appreciation for friendships. We just had just a greater appreciation for everyone around us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we cared about everybody. You know, back in the day, we used to give our teachers gifts.
Yeah.
I can tell you now, that ain't happening no more, but we had a greater appreciation for the people who taught us,
the people who led us,
the people who were around us. We had friends, the same friends our entire childhood, the same friends our. Sometimes they don't translate to adulthood, you know, because
So
we have the same types of friends. And I feel like geriatric millennials, whenever we meet each other, we will automatically connect because we are the last great people.
We are. I agree.
We are keeping the world together because we have the soul of our grandparents mixed with the soul of our boomer parents, mixed with bits and pieces of millennials, which make us the perfect human beings, keeping the world the way it is, because we saw right when it changed. We would have asked people to go to the theater and see that change, where you couldn't even go into a rated R movie unless you had a parent. We've seen the world change. We've seen how TV has changed. We lived through the greatest decade ever.
Yeah.
For TV, for music, for everything.
Yeah, we went from like, so damn, what was before MySpace? Besides the AOL chat rooms. Black Planet and MySpace, I feel like, are around the same time. But we went from nothing to AOL chat rooms, to MySpace and Black Planet, to Facebook, to, I mean, we did all of that. Like, we definitely, wow. I mean, we kind of started everything. And the people behind us, that's all they knew. They came in on computers. We didn't get computers till I think middle school. I used to have those big body Macs and play Oregon Trail. Like, we've definitely seen the growth of just everything, like what life is like now. Could you imagine? Like, it's so crazy that we grew up with no cell phones around. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, I don't even know how we function. Like, I do not understand how we function.
People. See, the people is always... That's where everything starts, is the people.
Yeah.
It's like you said, y'all went to the mall, we used to go get pizza. Everything was, even if you watch Stranger Things or the Goonies, everything was about me and the crew.
Yep.
Everything was about friendship. Friends lied to each other. We have packs. Well, I didn't do blood packs. Now that's...
Yeah, no. Anybody, no. Nobody's doing all that. We're not doing all that.
Who, if you did one...
No,
you're inclusive, but that wasn't my ministry.
Yeah, It was different. And you know, the thing I love about TikTok now, you know, there's a whole like TikTok section of geriatric millennials who are like bringing back like those Spice Girl moments and Britney Spears and NSYNC and just all of these like older groups. And I actually love it because it just is so like just the nostalgia of just the things that we grew up on and what we used to listen to. And the music was so good back then. Remember when people used to dance, like just dance, and it didn't matter. And I also feel like we were that last group of people that listened to everything. We listened to pop music. We listened to rock. We listened to rap. We listened to everything. Now it's like, no, you just listen to the Migos, or this group just listens to this music. Like, it's so separate. It's so separate now. Like, we used to listen to freaking like Enrique Iglesias and... But now you go to an Enrique concert, it's only Latinos. If you go to, I don't know, like a Migos concert, it's only like, it's just so interesting how things are so separate now. But growing up, we used to listen to everything. We would listen to Christina Aguilera too. So I feel like we were also the last generation of like everything crossed over. All the music crossed over. So white kids were listening to, I don't know, Ice Cube. Like, you know, when Ice Cube kind of transitioned by himself, it was just different back then. It was different just even on the music and everything.
Bailamos.
But that, yeah, we're more cultured. We're just more cultured, and it wasn't so like separate. It wasn't separate like it is now. Now it's like it's just so different. Like, it's just really different. And I don't know, I don't like it now. Like, I really don't. I'm not gonna say I don't like it now, but I do feel like we're that last generation of just being inclusive. I feel like we were very inclusive. Like, you know, growing up, you would have some white friends, Asian friends, Latino friends. Nowadays, you see this kid, it's not the same, unless it's like private schools and stuff. But I don't know, it's just a little different.
Yeah, we used to watch MTV. MTV is the bridge.
Right.
MTV was, look, we could talk about this. There is so many differences. There's so many things that are different. But the music?
Yeah.
When black kids listen to rock and roll, listen to Green Day.
Nirvana.
You can listen to Green Day and you can listen to Warren G.
Absolutely.
It was the same thing. All of the dances that the kids do now, we did in person when it came out. All of the songs that are being sampled are songs that were sampled when we were in our prime.
Yeah.
90s, 2000s. Especially absolutely. 2000s. Every time these kids have a throwback day, they dress like Nelly, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
We are the last great people.
Yeah, we are. Okay, so what do you think about, though? Because the biggest difference for me is dating. I just remember, well, one, I didn't date. You know, I didn't date a lot, like, in high school. But it was just different. Like, I didn't really date like that. Like, I don't know.
You had a...
Not till college, really. Like, high school, guys aren't really checking for me like that. You know, I had my glow up later in life. But I don't think, I wasn't like dating for real like that. Like, I was not dating, but like dating was so different back then. And again, it's like, it goes back to the, like, having to write the number down. I remember literally sitting at home waiting for guys to call, because it wasn't no texting. It was none of that. So you literally would have to wait around until a guy called you. If you met a guy at the mall or at the movie theater or at a basketball game, it's like, you got to wait till he calls. We had caller ID then, so it's like you had to wait for caller ID. But it was just so different having to wait around. Like, dating, well, I guess getting to know a guy was different, because also my mother wasn't letting me date. But I don't know, like, how was you, like, what was your thing, like, when you would try to pull a girl? What was your thing? Like, what did you say to them? I already know it's funny. Like, I like your toes.
What?
I like your toes.
You have a fetish.
I think you do. Or you at least used to. When you were in high school.
I like you.
That's what you used to say?
I like you and I want you.
That's what you said. and then you ask for her number?
My way of getting women is the same as, and you know, I never have called myself a comedian, because I just feel like when you tell people that, people expect you to always tell jokes.
To always be
on. Yeah, people are like, oh, you're a comedian. I feel like the way that Adam Sandler or like Seth Rogen pull women, it's like I say something that is witty, in my mind profound, and then I strike up conversation. Because see, I've never had a six pack in my life. Like I've never considered myself sexy, but you know, I consider myself, you know, my personality gets the party started.
That's what I say about me too. Personality is everything. Personality is everything.
So that's what I do. It's just I will find something about you.
So
this is like if I have a son, I say, son, you strike up the conversation so that a woman just falls madly in love with you for you.
So your thing is to make them laugh.
I think if you can make a woman laugh when you meet them and just, you know, strike up a good conversation. About like, you know, some people insult women when they meet them. Like, oh my God, your forehead. But you
think, who does that? What?
I see it all the time. I see it all the time.
I've never seen anybody.
The whole thing is you're not supposed to insult the woman. You're just supposed to strike up a conversation. Just like some of your homegirls do when they see men out in public.
Yeah.
And they say, I do that all the time.
Ooh, I like this. Ooh. Absolutely. I will go up to a guy and tell him I like his beard, or I'll call a guy handsome. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so handsome. I'll do that in a heartbeat.
And you know how y'all talk loud, like, not the McDowell's hat. And then y'all conversation. Not the Wesley Snipes shirt.
Right.
Y'all start talking. It's like, oh, I appreciate you, queen. Like, what you got going on? And then y'all start talking. Blah, 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 blah.
But here's the thing that's different, though. So we used to have to meet people in person. We didn't have a choice. We had to meet them in person because it wasn't like we had the internet back then. So like now it's like you can DM somebody or you don't even have to know them. You could literally just see them on the Explore page and then just slide in their DMs. And it's so different, but also kind of weird to me because literally back in the day, it's like you literally had no choice but to meet somebody in person. It wasn't like, oh, like you couldn't just comment on somebody's picture or something like that. There was none of that. So it literally was all in person. I feel like that's another reason why people don't have great interpersonal skills, because now all they have to do is just slide in a DM or be on a dating app. And things are so different for us and how we used to have to communicate to actually meet somebody and connect with them. I know you slide in women's DMs or whatever. So how are you sliding? Because I feel like my slide is kind of like what you said, like say something witty or something, like just say something in there. First of all, I'm not definitely not putting it on their actual post. I'm going to do it in DM. So if I get shot down or if they ghost me, it's going to happen in private. So I'm not embarrassed. But yeah, I just like comment on whatever they're talking about and just, you know, a little emoji here and there, a little like, you know, wink emoji or a hug emoji or a blushing emoji. That's how I pull them. I mean, how are you pulling the ladies in the DMs?
Well, first of all, as we talk about often, sometimes you have to find a woman who is the correct level that you're on.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of delusional people out here now.
Yeah.
Nothing against them. Just saying sometimes you got to step back and say, am I DMing the right person?
So you like, you assess their...
in the right place at the right time?
How do you assess their Instagram profile? Like, do you look at like the type of bags they have, the type of car they're driving, their makeup skills? Like, what are you looking at that tells you like, okay, she's within shooting range?
Listen, you and all fellas just need to just be honest with yourself. You know if you're dealing with a nerdy woman, you know if you're dealing with a baddie, you know what kind of woman you're dealing with if you're doing the correct research, right? So if you know that this woman is like, all her videos have popular songs on them. Mm-hmm. She leans more towards being an influencer. She's always trying to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you post your pictures or you post your thing and she's only interested when you're doing things that are cool or exclusive, whatever, you should know as a man that this probably is not the woman that you want to just pour your heart into, because she might be a little bit too superficial for you.
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of y'all guys do not pay attention to that. And then y'all.
Now, see, Lexi, if you see someone like Lexi, she wears like sundresses and she's goofy. And she's not
afraid. Yes. Goofy is kind of negative.
You were doing the percolator the other day or whatever you were trying to do.
I was not doing the percolator. I was dancing the percolator.
Going on.
Yes.
If you see a woman who is, you know, she likes to travel and she likes to do cool things, And you like to travel and you like to do cool things. And she wears like floral sundresses. And you like floral sundresses. And she went to HBCU. She's very culture. You know, she seems like a nice person. Right. And that is who you need to focus on.
Yeah, if they're aligned.
Or a woman who's like in the anime and you see her posting herself in cosplay.
Yes.
That's who you need to focus on. But if you keep talking to these women who are posting themselves by expensive cars.
Yeah.
You don't even know what they do for a living. You have no ideas. And I'm not saying you got to know what everybody's doing for a living, but you know that these women ain't got no job.
Yeah. But you know, that's what y'all like.
A trapper or athlete.
That's what y'all like, though.
In your lane.
That's what y'all like, though. I don't understand it. I feel like a lot of these guys, they go after those girls. But here's the thing also, like, if we're talking like, you know, just being jazz millennials, back in the day, dudes wouldn't ever try to go after those types of girls. They'd have been like, okay, I don't want to get shot down, because in person, you can get shot down. Like, and if you get shot down in person, it's even more embarrassing, which is why also guys today don't go up to women really and talk to them, because they don't want to be embarrassed. Like, men were used to that back in the day, because you had no choice. But you know, like, men are used to rejection. Let's be real. Men are used to rejection. Back in the day, though, y'all had to, like, go up to this woman in person and hope that she was interested in you, because she might shoot you down. Today's man, I think y'all are just so over it that y'all won't even go up to a woman and speak to her, especially if she's with her friends, because y'all don't want to be rejected. And nowadays, the rejection turns into like a guy can curse out a woman. You just never know where it's going to go. So it's just like
friends, though. You know, in high school, everybody used to hype you up. Like, there she go. There she, ooh. And she got, she looking good today. She got a presentation. She got her little
presentation.
She got a little side board and everything. Ooh. They'll hype you up. And then in the cafeteria, you know, she done put her poster board to the side and sat down to eat her lunch. It's like chicken patty on a bun day. And you just like, you got to pick the right day. I'm going to wear my freshest outfit with the Sacconis, my JNCO jeans.
I know you did not wear no JNCOs.
I didn't wear JNCOs.
You had... skater jeans?
They were JNCOs for the husky gentleman like myself.
Husky. Are you plus sized?
I'm husky.
Is that what they call? I mean, they have like...
It was always husky growing up. It was husky.
Wait, but that's not what people called it for real.
Yeah. Well, that's what they call it on the clothes.
Husky. What? Is it really?
We would just call, chubby? We would just call...
I just remember the big and tall.
Now it's a million terms, mid-size, plus size.
Yes, I'm mid-size. That's, I found that out, because I'm like, what do I call myself? I'm like in between. And yeah, but wait, I remember the big and tall section. Do they still have that? But you're saying that the tag said husky.
Yeah, the tag said husky.
I think you're joking.
I'm not joking. It said husky.
That is so interesting.
Oh, you pick your perfect outfit and you wait. Okay. Until everyone hypes you up. Even your teachers sometimes hype you up, and they know, like, it's your time. It's your time to shine. She can say yes or no. Can I take you to the dance? Or can we go out to, it wasn't like go out to eat to some expensive restaurant. It was like, will you go with me to Bennigan's?
Yeah.
Will you go with me to Sizzler or to the Chinese buffet?
Yeah.
So that's what I used to do. And I still, like, to this day, I feel like if you get the right person to hype you up, like, Lexi, if you hype me up, I don't have a problem going up to somebody and saying, hello.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds really creepy. It really sounds creepy. That's how you doing?
My name is. They call me U-S-H-E-R.
Oh my gosh. You know, so here's the thing. Here's my thing though. I like, so like, just like exactly like you said, just being able to go up to somebody in person. I like that in person. So that's why I love FaceTime. Like as soon as I meet a guy, I love when he FaceTimes me after we meet, because I need interaction in person. And if I can't be in person for real, I'll take FaceTime. Because I want to like see your eyes. I like to engage with people. I FaceTime my mother every single day. I FaceTime my friends every single day. I am a FaceTimer. Like, honestly, I don't like talking on the phone, but I need to see your eyes. I need to engage with you. I need you to hear my voice. I want to hear your voice. I need to hear the inflection in your voice. I need to hear the tone. That me being a Gen X millennial, I miss that like in-person interaction or meeting somebody in person. I will be quick. Like, as soon as I meet a guy, we can FaceTime immediately. And I'm the girl that you don't have to ask, hey, can I FaceTime you? Just do it. And actually, the past couple of guys that I was dating, they've just done it, which I love. Cause I'm like, cause I used to have to like put people on to FaceTime and audio messages. But now the last three guys that I was dating, they just FaceTime me out the blue. And I'm like, I like that. Like, cause I like that. I need to see your eyes. Do you do that with girls that you meet? Are you like, yo, I need to like see you. I need to at least like hear you. Cause you know, now Instagram has video. You could do audio messages. Like, what's your thing? What's your thing now?
I think.
You send creepy audio messages?
You're talking like the women is, if a woman picks up your FaceTime,
yeah,
I do take that as a major step in your relationship.
Especially
if she got the Sojourner on. Got the turban on, if she got the Harriet, or she got the bonnet and she don't put her strap on.
Yeah.
It's like you are in there. And she didn't got no makeup on, and you see what she really looks like.
Yep. It says a lot.
You see that clavicle. You start seeing what her background looks like.
Yeah.
You start seeing how she living.
That's important.
Does she even live anywhere? Is she not homeless?
Does she sleep on the floor?
Yeah. Does she sleep on a cot? Does she sleep on an air mattress?
All of it. So a guy that I just met just went on. I went on a blind date recently, and it was 6 hours long. But he FaceTimed me this morning. I was putting rollers in my hair, and I answered. And I was like, "See, this tells you that I like you a little bit because I answered FaceTime. I just met you 2 days ago, and I answered FaceTime, putting rollers in my hair and my robe on. And another guy, the guy before that, I would answer in my bonnet." So that tells you, I mean, I guess it does, but they're probably going to be like, dang, you do this for everybody. Cause I kind of like, I don't know if I like our interaction, you're going to get the real me. And the real me is no makeup on, probably in a bonnet with my robe on. That's what you're going to get. And I think it's fine. Like it tells you like, okay, I'm real. And I don't want you to get hyped up and think that I'm dressed up all the time. And then I'm always going to have makeup on, or that I'm always going to have my hair done. Because most of the time, child, Alex, you see me on FaceTime. You know, Alex see me with freaking bonnets on and scarves on. And yeah, you already know.
Yeah. I do know some people are a little bit shy. And they don't want to get all up in your face like that. But I mean, if you try to be in a relationship, I'm going to see you without that wig on.
Nah, not these girls. These new girls don't do that. They will like literally not take off their wigs for these dudes. They do not want these dudes to see. And see, this is why I like to show myself like my bare self early, because I don't want you, especially if you like, for example, I met this dude with clip-ins in, like long Beyonce style clip-ins. I was like, dude, I don't normally look like this. I'm going to let you know now. You go, you know how like, you know the meme that's like, I can go from a baddie to homeless. I can go from a baddie to homeless and back and forth. Like, I will look so homeless. And I like to, like, I need you to know this up front, because I don't want you to see me out or see me on FaceTime and be like, damn, why she look like that? I can go from baddie to homeless in 5 minutes. And I want you to be aware of that, because I don't want you expecting me to have on 10 pounds of makeup and having my wig on, because that's not going to happen. But I feel bad for those girls that do feel like they have to have, like, the perfect hair all the time. I'm the girl, like, I used to do like that. I used to have on my bonnet. And then as soon as the guy calls, I would take it off real quick. But then I'm just like, sir, hello. Answer with my bonnet on.
That's why women need to listen to men when we say we like. And I'm not speaking for all men, but I like when y'all got your run to the stove, that aura that you got.
Yep.
When you just look, see, when you look regular. And you'd be like, why everybody always talking to me when I look regular?
Oh, yeah, because guys like it.
You in your purest form.
Yeah.
Y'all be looking, when y'all have the yoga pants on, the shirt, whatever college you went to, with the ball cap over whatever's going on your head.
Yep.
With no makeup on. You just be looking just right.
That's when guys talk to me the most.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because then a dude knows, next she look, I'm not saying you look crazy. You look normal.
You look dusty.
But you look good. So in your mind, you're like, it only goes up from here.
One of my boos always says that every time I'm on Instagram just chilling, he's always like, oh my gosh. He's like, I just love that look. Like when you just like have on, just like, you know, even if it's just like a big t-shirt, he's just, I really like that look. He's like, it's really sexy. He's like, I like that the most. And I like when he says that because it makes me feel better about it because, yeah, like, you don't know, like, and again, clearly if I'm going to my Instagram stories in a big baggy t-shirt or whatever I have on a robe, I'm clearly not using that to impress guys. So when guys comment on that, I would much rather appreciate a guy commenting on that than me with a bathing suit on, you know? So yeah. I'm like, you know.
Just embrace your run to the store look, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel that. That's why
Target is such a, so many people meet in Target because it's just like you see somebody in the front.
Yeah.
And she got a buggy full of things that you know she don't need.
Uh-huh.
She about to spend $200 on some
towels. She got money. Uh-huh.
Some popcorn, because you know the popcorn at Target be.
Uh-huh.
She about to buy some food from the smallest grocery section in the world.
Yep. It is small.
She's about to buy some home goods.
Yeah.
Looking good in those pants.
Yeah, I feel that.
Looking good in those pants.
I feel you on that. And like, so another thing though that I think about when I think about dating is cheating. Like how, remember back in the day, like it took a lot to be like, to get caught cheating. Like it would be, I remember I went out, oh my gosh, I went home one time for the holidays. When I was in college, went home, went on a date with this dude back at home. He's like, oh, like my girlfriend, you know, you walk like 5 feet ahead of me because I have a girlfriend. And this is like after we get to the movie theater. And I was so like, what? But it wasn't like, we weren't like taking pictures. It wasn't like a, you know, we had the cell phones. Like we did have cameras. No, I don't even think we had cameras on our phones then. So it wasn't even like really, it was hard to catch people. Like you had to catch them in the moment. Like I'm at the movie theater, like, oh my gosh, I saw so-and-so out on a date with this girl and he has it and his girlfriend is over at this school. It was different. Like nowadays, shoot, you can get caught. Like this new technology, it's just so much easier. And that's why all these dudes are getting caught now because of social media. But it was way harder back in the day. Like you had to literally just happen to be at the movie theater, happen to be at the mall and like, oh, this dude is cheating. Like it wasn't really, like I remember one time also, one of my girls was dating this dude and one of the girls at my high school was dating the same dude, but they didn't even know. Now, in real life, in today's life, they wouldn't have been able to get, that guy wouldn't have been able to get away with it. The only reason why I knew was because my girl at the other high school was like, oh, this is my boyfriend. I was like, nah, he's dating this girl at my school. It took a lot to like figure out like, oh, guys are cheating. Nowadays, you can't even, I don't even care if you go to different high schools, you gonna get caught. Like, yeah. It's way different. Like this, I don't know, just like the technology these days. But before it was like, you could literally have like three girls. You could have a girlfriend at every high school in Hampton and you could probably get away with it low key, especially if they weren't super popular. You could get away with it.
Yeah, cheating is expensive and overrated. That's why you got to get your old lady, one old lady.
Tell all these black men, tell them.
No, I'm just, because you know, I feel like cheating is rooted in just back in high school. You just want to relive your glory days and just be a man. But yeah. I feel like as a geriatric millennial, a flex to me, the ultimate flex is getting the woman that everybody wants and wifing you up. Like but, if you, the coach, the NBA coach who has Nia Long.
Oh my gosh. They're the cutest couple.
Talk about you got Nia Long.
He fine, she fine.
Why would you? There's nothing else for you to do.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
nothing else. You got to get the girl.
Yeah.
And settle down. See, cheating, and we talk about this all the time. Dudes just need to, and not even just us, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop settling. Go for what you want. Now, this alone.
Uh-huh.
I'm not responsible for that. That's you made your choice, but go for what you want because cheating is just rooted in, oh, Lexi doesn't have this. She doesn't have.
Yeah, it's FOMO. Like it's FOMO.
This girl, I like Lexi because she's this. Because my wife is homely and she dresses like Gargamel from
all of it is like, it's FOMO. It's like, oh, there's something better out there. There's something better out there. Like, no, get you that boo that you like. Look, all of y'all, this season, I want y'all to know we're going to give updates every episode about our dating life, because we're both going to find, like, through this season, you're going to listen to our dating stories, because guess what? We need to find these boos. So look out for it. Like, you know, we know we're going to be sliding in DMs. We're going to be doing all of that, Alex. Like,
I'm about to show y'all my boo is coming. She's in the regular mail, though, so it's going to take some time.
Look, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get into that this season. We're going to get into our dating life and us trying to find the one as a Jerash millennial, because we're both, you know, hitting 40. We're about to hit 40. So, you know, I know we both want to find this man. Well, we don't want to both find this man. I want to find a man. Alex is looking for a girl. Get with it. Make sure you guys follow. Oh, you need, well, and I need a hoochie daddy. No, I don't want a hoochie daddy. But so make sure you check us out. Make sure you guys follow us, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend, tell all of your uncles with the beards to hit me up. I am Lexi at Lexi with the curls, and
I'm Alejandro. Is there a heart in the house tonight?
Thank you for listening to The Adulthood, a podcast for geriatric millennials.